It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Never made it as a wise man. I couldn't cut it as a poor man stealing. Tired of living like a blind man. I'm sick of sight.
You're listening to Puck and Roll.
And this is how you remind me. This is how you remind me of what I really am. This is how you remind me of what I really am. It's not like you to say sorry. I was waiting on a different story. And this time I'm mistaken for letting you a heart would break it. And I've been wrong. I've been down. Been to the bottom of every bottle. Don't stop words in my head.
Hello, and welcome back to the Puck and Roll Podcast. In this episode, we are going to focus specifically on draft eligible players. And we have a few names written down. I'm sure we're going to go off script a decent amount because we don't really have a script apart from a collection of a few names. And apart from the Justin Barron goal that just happened in the Habs game versus the Islanders to tie it up in the third period, which I have on the side right now, we are going to focus on some of the, I guess, interesting case studies in this draft class, including one of our personal favorites on this podcast that we've yet to mention because he's been a late bloomer as one of our personal favorites. And that is the player with arguably the coolest name in the entire draft class. If Josh, you want to introduce him yourself?
Oh, I'm manic for him. It's Matthew Mania.
You are. He's fun, isn't he?
Oh,
yeah. And before we jump in on Matthew Mania, just need to say I'm joined by Joshua Rosa and Aaron Idovich for this episode. I got a bit ahead of myself because Mania's name is so cool. But yeah, so Matthew Mania, you guys go ahead and I'll add my piece at the end.
His name is his own nickname. It's insane. Like Matthew Mania, it's perfect. Like, I can't remember the last time I was this excited for a hockey name. And it just makes me want to see him succeed. I hope it hasn't colored my viewings of him too much. But like, he's not a guaranteed anything. He skates well. He is composed with the puck from what I've seen. And he can provide some offensive upside from what I remember. And I just really hope that he works. He's second round for me, probably. I don't see him being quite there to be a first round prospect, but like mid second, he'd be definitely worth taking a flyer on, in my opinion.
I was so surprised when you sent me the Instat email. I saw Matthew Mania 25-31 time on ice. I'm like, what? Who is this guy? Why is he playing 25 minutes? I later found out he plays like 17, 18, 19 on a normal night.
Yeah. But
his motor is so relentless that he didn't look tired after, like, I mean, any player looks tired in the third period, but like he's out there. He skates nicely. I think he has like some mechanics to work on, really just kind of powerful, and like he needs to develop the power in his acceleration, but once he's going, and he just looks like he's having so much fun out there. Great name. And I have him in like my one tier outside of my first round, which it's mostly because I haven't watched enough of him or enough of the other players outside of there, but I just had so much fun watching him.
I like him a lot. He's currently my favorite OHL defenseman. I still have Bruce Devitt ahead of him. But yeah, so I have Bruce Devitt like at around 42, and I have Mania at 49, Bo Aki at 52 and Oliver Bonk at 54 and Cam Allen at 55. So it's kind of like a big jumble of OHL defensemen in that 40 to 60 range. But Mania, the name is so fitting too, because he plays such a chaotic style. Like he's really, he creates a ton of offense. He plays with tremendous risk.
And reminds me a lot of Christian Kyrou from going for 2021.
I can see that. I don't think the same offensive upside is there, but I prefer his defensive game and his skating.
I like his projection better. Like I can
projection. See I think better. Yes, he has a more cohesive style, I think, than Kyrou did last season. I fully agree with your analysis on the skating specifically. He's very fluid, but he lacks that explosiveness, which is mainly evident when he goes for cutbacks, which he does quite a bit, and he just loses all momentum when he goes for one and has to like reaccelerate out of it, which makes them fairly ineffective as a way to create separation from forecheckers. But the thing that stood the most to me is just how composed he is in possession. He seems to make the right decision even when he's being pressured by multiple opponents. And yeah, he's really fun. I like him a lot. He could definitely rise into my to around 40 on my board, I think. And yeah, I've enjoyed every minute I've watched him play. So he's definitely a guy to keep an eye on for the rest of the season. His production's definitely been spiking with Sudbury's resurgence in the OHL. Which has been the case for basically everyone on Sudbury, including Quentin Musty and Kokodelic, who's fun. I like Kokodelic a lot as a D plus one, who I really do hope gets picked this year. He's good. I like him. And another guy that we can talk about, and Josh, I know that you've watched him, is Adar Suniev, who, in my opinion, is better than Bradley Nadeau. If we're talking about players on the Penticton V's in the BCHL, I do like Suniev quite a bit more in terms of upside and just interest. Like Nadeau is he generates entries quite well. He's a decent playmaker. He's a decent goal scorer. He's a decent skater. Nothing really stands out to me that makes him like a wow player. And especially playing in the BCHL, I want to see players stand out. Like, obviously, all these guys are putting up ridiculous point totals because it's the BCHL. But in terms of toolkit, nothing is fantastic. He's very smart. I don't know if that is a separating, I guess, tool compared to better leagues, like in the NCAA, for instance. And Adar Suniev, who is a rare Russian playing in the BCHL, which is not exactly a mold of a player you see very often, who is not a good skater. Like, he's a pretty rough skater, actually. But he's really smart. He has a great shot. He has a lot of really interesting things. And I think the upside there is really intriguing. So, Josh, tell me what you think about Adar Suniev.
Yeah, I really liked him from what I saw of a couple games with him there. The one thing that I kept kind of thinking back on was that he feels very relentless on the ice. Like, he's just going. He is involved. He's a good forechecker, even though he can't skate too well. He always goes to the middle. He's great at finding spots and is great for energy. Like, he's just... Again, all over the ice. He's a lot of fun to watch. He's decent. I thought he was good in the defensive zone from what I watched. He can be a really good, like, that bottom six defensive energy guy. Not sure if I could see too much more of that, but he has the potential to be one of those, like, fan favorite guys that just gets everyone going because he's just so much fun to watch and competes like nothing else, really.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely agree. I think he definitely has some sort of top six upside. It's a bit of a long shot But he's a great puck protector. He's so tenacious. He's really smart off puck in the offensive zone. Always in a good position. He changes the angle on his passes and shots to better access dangerous lanes. His crossovers are weirdly fluid compared to the like his actual forward stride mechanics, which are like the choppiest I've seen the entire draft class. Like he really lacks agility, which is a thing that he really needs to work on. But there's enough there where, especially if you're taking a swing in like the third, fourth, fifth round, you could do a ton worse than Adar Suniev. Like he's fun. He might not be anything, but he is fun, and I like fun. He currently on my board, he sits at, I'm gonna have to check this. I know he's somewhere in my 40s. Yes, he is. Where the hell is he on my board? Why can I not find this guy? Oh yeah, there he is, 43. He's higher than I thought. Nice. Yeah, so 43 on my board. Same tier as guys that we were just talking about in Matthew Mania and Hunter Bruce-Davis, but he's, I like him. And Aaron, I'll send you some game tape so you can check him out as well, because he is fun. And speaking of another, like, me, I don't know if fun is the word, but funny case study in this year is Daniil Boot, who has a wicked shot, is pretty smart with his offensive zone movements, and is just the wackiest player. His skating is awful. The motor is often non-existent, but the handling skill's quite good. Flashes some interesting deception in his passing game. He's been growing on me. My first viewing, I was overly harsh on him. It wasn't a big enough sample to be as harsh as I was. And our friend Jordan Harris, the scout, not the player, kept telling me, like, you know, he's not as bad as you think. And I'm like, okay, fine, I'll watch some more. And he's right. I was over exaggerating. And yeah, Daniil Boot is, again, really good shot, and he's gonna probably go a lot higher than even I'm gonna be comfortable picking him, even with a few better viewings now under my belt. But I mean, I know a guy like Corey Pronman has him inside his top 10, which I don't understand personally, in terms of upside or certainty or really anything. However, I watched a KHL game of him against HK Sochi for just in the last few days. And yes, the skating is an issue, no doubt about it. But I don't know. Apart from scanning habits and processing speed and those things that also need improvement, because he's a very flawed player, there is a very interesting foundation for middle six goal scorer. He can definitely be a trigger man on a power play. He's a weird, weird case study. But what do you guys think of Daniil Boot? I know you both watched a little bit.
For one, this episode is going to be going out on his 18th birthday. So happy birthday, Daniil.
Happy birthday, Daniil.
Look, when you have a guy that's 6'5" and 203 pounds, you kind of better have a good shot. But
yes,
so if you guys know me well, you know that I had my pet project in 2022, Kirill Dolzhenkov, who was,
yes,
like,
you did,
6'7", 230, good shot, good puck protection, brutal skater. Like,
he's the giraffe. That was my
guy that's 6'7", his skating wasn't that bad, but for a hockey player, it really was. I think Daniil Boot is a worse skater than Kirill Dolzhenkov.
I would disagree there.
Look, at least Dolzhenkov had the motor.
Dolzhenkov would fall over with a gust of wind. Daniil Boot, at least.
6'7".
Yeah, exactly. But, like if we're comparing them as skaters. I haven't watched any
Daniil Boots recently either. So I am a little impartial. But, like, he was one of the worst skaters I had
ever seen. Oh, no. I have him down as a 2.5 or 3 grade as a skater on 10,
but the shot
is not great.
Beautiful.
The shot's great. No, like, really good shooting mechanics. gets really impressive power behind his shot.
Because he flashes, when you have that type of power with that type of accuracy,
yeah,
he's going to be in an all-star game one day because of that.
And even with his skating, like, it's so funny because his mechanics are just so deeply flawed, like really, really poor mechanical skater. However, because he has so much power in his lower body, he propels himself forward at a pretty impressive pace. And when he can use crossovers to get some more acceleration going, he's pretty fast. But yeah. So
basically, he's Yuri Slafkovsky.
Daniil Boot is, in my most recent viewing, I did compare his ability to get pucks from the board to the middle to Slafkovsky. I did make that comparison. Slafkovsky is if Daniil Boot were really, 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 really good at hockey. But Boot's going to probably go in the first round because he's huge. But I don't know. He's a weird case to me because certain aspects of his game I really love and others frustrate me to no end. And that as a whole makes him kind of humorous as a prospect this year.
And he does have the elite skill.
The one, yes. Yeah. Yeah. And look, his handling ability is pretty decent. He's an awful backwards skater. Like, his backwards skating makes his forward skating look lovely. But he's a player that if you can turn him into like an Arthur Kaliev, that is possible. Which is interesting. As like a pure trigger man, maybe playing 13 minutes at night and half of those on the power play. I mean, not half, like a healthy chunk of that is on the power play. Like, if you use him on the fourth line at 5-on-5 and then you just put him on the power play, I can see that. Like, he's also a good net front presence if you don't want him, or if you want him like switching between a trigger man role and a net front, you can do that. He's an interesting player. I have him, I probably wouldn't touch him in the second round, but in the third or fourth, he won't be available, but I'd be interested if he was
like, if there's a development staff willing to take the time to turn him into that type of player, he could become something. But my sentiment is there's 32 development staffs that think they can turn him into that type of player. Because NHL teams love guys that are 6'5" and 203 pounds. It's probably their favorite item. Like,
he looks it. Like, he's just so gangly and weird when he's skating. It just makes me laugh every, like, watching his game, I'm just laughing the whole time.
Like, he's the kid that hit puberty amazing. 11 years old. But just, like, played like that.
Like, yeah, he is huge.
He's huge, but the skating is such, like, it's just so weird and bad that I don't see it.
That isn't like other bad skaters, because
yeah,
a lot of bad skaters have at least something that like can be improved on. Like, I can't even think of a really bad skater, but all of them have some sort of mechanic that's like okay, that you can improve on, you can build on.
There's Boots crossovers like are better than his forward stride, kind of like Suniev. But
I don't see how that skating can turn NHL caliber. I don't see
exactly.
Him
exactly.
It doesn't need to, though, right? Like, I think that's a big thing with Boot, is it doesn't need to reach that level for him to have an identity as a player. And I think that's where it becomes a bit more interesting to me. But let's move from a 6'4" Russian with awful skating to a 6'4" Russian with beautiful skating. And Dmitry Simashev. Aaron, take it away. I know he's one of your favorites.
It came out of nowhere. He wasn't ranked on my first rankings. And now he is officially, as of 2 days ago when I watched ASP and Simashev back-to-back, he's my top-ranked defenseman in the class because he's perfect. Like, he's exactly what every NHL team wants. He's being slept on so hard because he's 6'4", 201 pounds. He's a beautiful skater, great mind. His offense, I see why people are underwhelmed with, one, the point totals. But I've been really impressed with his, not his creativity, just the way that he drives forward. Like
he draws pressure in very, very well. Yeah,
and exactly. All of his game is directed in the right way. Like he generates momentum really well.
Driven. Yeah.
He makes his teammates better all the time when he's on the ice. So even if the points aren't there, he's pretty good offensively to the point where I think he could be like a 30-40-45 point guy in the NHL, but his defense is fantastic. Like
it is, yeah.
There's nothing passive about his game. He's always on it. He's always moving, and his positioning is fantastic.
Yeah, I also watched a game of his versus Sochi in the KHL. This is a game from back in November. But I was so impressed. Just like his combination of mobility and defensive habits. Like he sticks to puck carriers like glue, and he can follow them around everywhere in the offensive zone. He's so confident, and that's one of the things I'm most impressed with, because in this game, in the KHL, he only played 6 minutes and 25 seconds. Whenever he was on the ice, he was commanding around his teammates. Like, he was, like, giving directions vocally, and yeah, he closes gaps so quickly, so, like, he plays a suffocating brand of transition defense.
If you're talking about a cool name, Dmitry Simashev really rolls off the tongue.
It does. I'm very close to bumping him up ahead of Sandin Palicka as well. Yeah. Like those two for me have really set themselves apart from the rest of the class of defensemen. Like I think Gulyayev might be the third, but the top two for me is without a doubt Simashev and ASP. I know some people have Reinbacher in that mix as well, but Reinbacher is like for me right in that 30 range. We've talked about him previously on the podcast. Safe. I'm sure he's safe. He's not going to be a first pairing guy. I don't see that upside with him. I know a few public scouts think that Reinbacher has the highest ceiling of any defenseman in the class. I'm going to have to like ask them about that because I don't see that at all. And I want to kind of see what makes them think that. Because in my like five viewings of Reinbacher, I haven't seen any of that. Whereas with Simashev, if you told me he's going to be by far the best defenseman of the class, I'd be like, I'd be
willing to take that bet. I mean, I'm ranking him seventh overall. I'm willing to take that bet right now.
Yeah. I mean, I bumped it up to 12, but 7 to 12 is a pretty tight tier for me, just like 3 to 6s. Yeah, I think Simashev, ASP, and Will Smith and Jaden Perron are the only guys that could actually bump up into that
3 to 6
maybe tier. Into that 3 to 6 tier, maybe.
I feel like there's such a separation.
But between it is, Kristall right? It's like, Smith. Would I take Kristall or Simashev? And I'm like, I'll take Kristall. Would I take Kristall or Smith? I'm taking Kristall, right? Like, and it's even like a thing of like, Kristall or Michkov or Kristall or Carlson or Kristall or Benson, where it's like put those four guys in the blender, not like in terms of not people, yeah. Obviously I don't want to like kill them, but like their names in my rankings in the blender,
like they're definitely,
and whatever way it spits out, it's gonna work for me, and it's kind of the same thing for my 7 to 12 tier, where it's like could I rationalize Simashev at 7? Yes, I totally could. Could I also rationalize him at 12 where I currently have him? Obviously. And it's a fun draft for that reason, because you're going to see players available later than they should be, just because they're so tight in so many rankings. Like,
and
you're going to see a player
in fantasy.
Yeah. Like you're going to see a player that even on Bob McKenzie's list is ranked like 15th overall, fall to the second round, just because he's always the second best option whenever a team picks.
That's going to be like
Gavin, a really interesting class.
Jaden Perron.
Yeah. Oh, those two guys, I wouldn't be shocked at all if they fell to like the 20s. And then for Perron, I would be shocked if he's available at 40. But I think Brindley's big production now in the last 2-3 weeks,
he's really messing
is really going to help him.
Basically.
I mean, look, he put up what 15 points in eight games. Yeah. 7 goals, 15 points in 8 games. Not bad.
He makes Fantilli look better.
Yes, because Brindley is excellent, and there's a reason I have him at 8th overall. I love Gavin Brindley. He's great. I still have him as my top American. though it's really close with Will Smith and Leonard.
I was about to say, like,
yeah, Fantilli's gonna, yeah, come on, like, yeah, obviously, not gonna have them over Fantilli, but Gavin Brennan is a ton of fun, just pure intensity, pure, he's a great playmaker too. And he plays pretty similarly to Timur Mukhanov, who I know is another favorite of yours, Aaron. If you also want to give a quick little piece on Mukhanov.
I think we should really just kind of keep the episode going, honestly.
Oh, no, fair enough.
That sounds kind of weird because, like, you already led up to it. Yeah, with Mukhanov, it's just like he does everything really well, to the point where it's hard to find the elite aspects in his game, because, like, he doesn't do anything badly enough to make it obvious. And also, a guy who's 5'8", there's obvious question marks, but he's, out of all of them, like, out of Whitelaw, out of Perron, even out of Crystal, I'm the most confident he'll make the NHL and have a meaningful role, because he's the
really
guy that can be
he's Russian
forward.
Like, I do think that like, his nationality plays a factor in the likelihood of him making the NHL, but yeah, I'm sure we're gonna, like, really delve into his game in a future episode.
Yeah.
And for now, we're going to go into our ad break.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This time of year, everyone's talking about making big changes, which is all well and good, but most of the time, pretty unrealistic. I've actually found that the smallest changes to your routine can make the biggest impact. In the same way, you don't have to break the bank to make a big deal purchase. Even the smallest things can be part of a big change if it's something you use every day, like my Raycons. Raycon is premium audio at the perfect price point, so you can build great habits without breaking the bank. I like to walk to school, and I also take the bus sometimes. I love listening to my podcast with my Raycons. I got 32 thoughts, locked in NHL prospects, and of course, puck and roll going all the time. Whether you're looking for a pair of everyday earbuds, low latency gaming headphones, or a speaker with a battery that will last all night at your next party, Raycons got you covered. And yep, Raycons start at half the price of other premium audio brands. So you don't even have to choose between products. You can get one of each, or a pair and a spare, and still pay less than you would with some of the other guys. Even if you know you love your Raycons as much as I do, Raycon wants to make sure you feel great about your purchase. They offer buy now, pay later options. Every purchase has an easy and free return guarantee. For me, my favorite parts of them are definitely the earbud tap functions and the noise isolation, but really everything about them is fantastic. Ready to buy something small with a big impact? Go to buyraycon.com/THPN today to get 15% off your Raycon order. That's buyraycon.com/THPN to score 15% off. buyraycon.com/THPN. The action never ends at DraftKings Sportsbook, especially this year. With tons of ways to bet on all your favorite sports, you can feel your fandom and feel the heat of the season like never before. Plus, right now, DraftKings Sportsbook is giving new customers a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's right. Make your first bet of up to $1,000, and if it doesn't win, you'll get another shot to cash in. You can throw down on all the major action for baseball, golf, MMA, and more. Plus, with same-game parlays, spreads, money lines, over-unders, and props, your betting options feel endless. I'm personally excited for the Canadians versus Canes game because the Carolina Hurricanes are amazing, and I am pro-tank. Best of all, DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. You can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, use promo code THPN, and make your first deposit. Get a risk-free bet of up to $1,000. That's promo code THPN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
And now let's jump into the WHL. And there's a player in that league that I know we've all watched pretty recently, and that's Nate Danielson. So, Josh, I know you watched him this week. What are your takeaways on him as a player, and how good do you think he could become?
Yeah, I watched a couple of games of him, and for some reason, I had to get it out of my head because I kept getting him mixed up with Jared Davidson. Montreal picked, and I kept hearing his name, and I've been like, why are people talking about this fifth round pick? And then I figured out that I just have a weird block in my brain. But yeah, he's a true pure center, in my opinion. Like, none of this winger center thing. He is very good, very responsible center. He's a big guy, and he can use his size appropriately, but he's not overly physical. He's not going to lay the body down or anything, but he can protect the puck well. He's good in his own zone, very smart, responsible, and he can chip in the offensive zone. He's very quick in transition through the neutral zone. He can really get moving, especially for a big body, and that could be hard to stop. But I just don't think, I didn't see much when I was watching him to think that he can light the higher professional leagues up offensively. I think that's going to cap his ceiling, his offensive production. I think if everything goes well and he has the right guys around him, he can be a solid to okay second line center. I think that's his kind of ceiling. He's not first line center, in my opinion, but I think he's got a really good chance of being like a very good third center with possible second center upside.
Yeah, he's kind of like a better version of Owen Beck as a draft eligible. Yeah. Like he has that similar linear speed and acceleration, very responsible, good in the faceoff circle. He has a really good shot, doesn't use it enough, which was the same case for Owen Beck last season. Flashes some really interesting playmaking, really good off-puck mover in the offensive zone. He's really solid. And the only reason that he's in my mid-20s right now rather than higher up is because it's a strong draft class. And there are players that I think have higher likelihoods of being second liners and players that I think have shots at being first liners that I just have higher because I like swinging on upside, and with Danielson, I just don't quite see that level of upside. But I can fully understand why others have him in their mid and even early teens, because he is very refined for a junior player, and he's going to be an NHLer. And I'm honestly expecting him to become like a top 12 pick this season. I think it's quite likely that happens because he just fits that NHL mold of center that goes pretty high. He's a safe pick. He has that second line upside as well, which I think will definitely convince some teams to have him high in their draft boards. But yeah, he's a pretty solid player.
Like, as it goes with this type of player, he's one tier above Nathan Gauthier and one tier below Marco Kasper. All very, very
similar players.
They all have their own skills. Gauthier is much more powerful. Kasper is a genius. And Danielson,
solid. He's really, really solid. I'm trying
to think of like one word to describe him. But like, yeah, he's solid. He's pretty good at everything. And he has that fine upside. But Nate Danielson is going to be a third line center in this league in like 2 years.
He's going to be here pretty quick. He makes a ton of sense for a team that ends up with like a 10 to 15th overall pick, but wants to be contending pretty soon. He makes a ton of sense for them.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the pick that I would make, but I could totally see it.
Islanders just missed the playoffs or something, other like fringe teams that are going to have that pick at like 14, 15, he's so close to the NHL already.
Indeed. And I think along the same line, there is another centerman that is mocked a lot higher typically than Danielson in the draft. And that's Dalibor Dvorsky, who to me is a bit of a similar, like not stylistically necessarily, but in terms of that projection as a middle six center, who's going to be really solid, probably going to be here pretty quickly in the NHL. So what are you guys' takeaways on Dvorsky?
I mean, one of our somebody on Twitter has him ranked third overall or second? Second overall?
I believe it's third.
Okay, third. I've watched like a decent bit. I think I've watched 5 or 6 games of his at this point. He's one of my more scouted players outside of my top 10 because I have him ranked 23rd right now. And like,
that's the range to me.
That
like
I can
16 see to 22 ish.
Like he's 6'2" or 6'1", 6'2".
He's really solid. Like he has a really solid foundation, really strong lower body. Like he plays a men's game in a men's league, and
like there's a lot to like. Just I haven't been wowed at all, and the 22 players above him, I've been wowed by. Like it's really I'm trying to weigh
the release the shot. He has a tremendous shot. But that is one thing.
Tremendous shot in this draft class.
They do. His is one of the better combinations of power and accuracy, and how quickly he can release it. Like he does not need any space to get a shot off, and that part is very impressive to me.
And I can't even figure out what I don't like about his game. Like the skating is not the best.
I like his mechanics. He's not the quickest. I would agree. Like the top speed is something that he has to work on. Like, but mechanically, really. Like a really strong foundation.
I don't just the way he thinks the game is a little bit behind a lot of the players in that range for me, because I have so many of those potential guys in that range. Like
he lacks some pace. That to me is a big thing. Like he lacks the pace. He's really good defensively as well. Like I have him above Danielson. I like his projection a little bit more.
The two players I have around him are Luca Pinelli and Oscar Fisker Molgaard.
Yeah. Again, these are all players that have that combination of second line offensive ceiling and a strong defensive game and strong defensive habits, which is quite nice. But it's definitely an interesting case with Dvorsky because he's going to go in the top 10. I'd be shocked if he didn't. Yeah, it's definitely a bit of a bunt compared to the other players that are going to be available when he goes. I do like him, just not in the top 10 or top 3 for some people.
Yeah, it's just skating for me. I guess I think it's because so much of his power is lower body, but sometimes it looks like he's kind of trying to skate uphill a little bit. And it just gets him half a step or a step behind other players that I think that's where he's going to struggle on. But other than that, he's a pretty smart guy. I've only seen, I think, one game of his, so it's a very small pool. But it's just that half step is going to hurt him, I think.
Yeah.
Like, the most dangerous combo in this league is speedy skater with a beautiful quick release shot. And the mechanics only go so far when you can't hit that top speed.
I would disagree there. I don't think that speed is the most important aspect of skating. I think as a whole, Dvorsky is a plus level skater. But yeah, the speed needs to come a bit. It's just his game isn't one based on speed, right? Like He thinks the game well. He's really solid. I know I was saying solid with Danielson, but it's even more so with Dvorsky. Like, look, his floor is a Christian Dvorak. Like he's gonna be a solid NHLer,
the most average player in the league, Christian Dvorak. Yes,
yes, which he is. Like I think Dvorak is the most average player in the league. Like I forget he's on the Habs regularly. Which is not what you want when it's a guy that you paid a first and a second to get, but but I do think that Dvorsky could be a really, really, really good second line center, and that's something I value a lot. I still struggle with him just because I don't know offensively how much value he's going to have apart from being a shooter, because his playmaking game is very raw and doesn't use it very often. He's a good enough passer, but it's just the playmaking habits that aren't quite there. But a different guy playing in Sweden that is interesting to me for upside rather than safety is Otto Stenberg. Stenberg against junior competition probably wouldn't crack my top 60. Stenberg versus SHL competition likely cracked my top 20. He plays a game with tremendous pace and skill and playmaking ability that is so enticing. When he's on, when he's off, he glides around invisibly the entire game, which is quite a big divergence between those two things. But he's rocketed up my board since I've watched him against pro competition, because it is also a thing, like I've been talking with other scouts about this, but especially for players playing in Sweden, like they've been in the system of their teams for like 5, 6, 7 years, and they've been dominating against junior competition for years as well. And when they get a taste of pro hockey, it's so demoralizing to be sent back down to play junior competition once again. And it is a bit of a different, I guess, mindset then with them compared to CHL players who are just in a junior league, period. And they don't have that professional, I guess, opportunity just yet. Whereas with guys like Stenberg, like he's a tremendous skater, mechanically so sound, so adaptable, great crossovers, really quick. He's an excellent scanner. He rifles pucks to high danger areas. And I really like his playmaking game. He's a great puck handler. Like the tools are maybe top 10 in the entire draft class. Like they're really, 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 really good. And for people that are really into fantasy hockey, he's a guy that I can bank on. Like if you want to take a high risk swing on someone producing a ton of points in the future, you could do a lot worse than Stenberg in that 20 to 30 range if you just want pure point production ceiling. And he's fun. I quite like him. He can be really frustrating against junior competition, and that's something that we have to keep an eye on, just because we know that there is this on-off switch with him in terms of how, I guess, implicated he is in the game. But I do quite like Otto Stenberg. I'm not sure if you guys have watched any of him recently, but I am a fan.
I think my sample of him is maybe 2 games. And I watched one really early in the season that I really liked, and I had him ranked like 24th or something. And then it wasn't a question of him not doing the right things. I watched one other game, but it was just all of the other players that were doing.
Yeah.
So he fell. I have him right now, I'm pretty sure, at 33, because like he was a cut during my last rankings, and I'll definitely have to watch them, see what happens.
Like he was at 32. Or 31 in the rankings that I released in January. At this point, he is up to my early 20s, and to be exact, he's at 21. He's really impressed me versus pro competition, and the best game that I watched of him was against Örebro, which is a pretty solid SHL team. It's where Leo Carlson plays, and it was a very impressive viewing. And then I just glanced over some other SHL viewings to make sure it wasn't like an outlier, and it wasn't. And I was impressed. And one other guy playing in Sweden that I wanted to highlight that I know you guys haven't even heard of is Felix Ungersorum. For people who like Oscar Fisker Molgaard, another guy with 3 names, Felix Ungersorum, who I believe is Norwegian, gonna have to double check that. He is. Oh, he's Swedish. Okay. I believe I'm going to double check elite prospects, make sure that my Google sheet isn't wrong. I don't want to give him the wrong nationality. No, he is indeed Swedish. And he's played seven games. He's on pace for 18 games in the SHL this season. He's only played 7 so far, but he projects to me as a Swiss Army knife bottom six guy. Again, not a guy I'm going to draft in the top 2 rounds, but in the later rounds of the draft, he's looking really, really good against SHL competition. He does not stand out poorly at all. He's a really plus level defensive piece already in the SHL, which is something I value quite a bit because it's a very strong league. And he's not the best skater, which is definitely something that he needs to work on. However, he has all the, like, a ton of professional habits. He's also, I believe, he's the youngest player in the entire draft class as well. He's born September 14th. It's the last day of the cutoff. He is the youngest player in the class, playing very, very good hockey in the SHL. I am a fan of that, I guess, style player. Just because, like, look, if he could turn into that high value, tilts the ice in your favor, third line guy, and you can nab that in the third or fourth round, like, that's a great get. And look, he lacks deception as a puck handler. He's not a great puck handler, but he plays with intensity, and he's going to be, if he pans out, he's going to be a really, really, really fun, intense bottom six guy who can flash some interesting playmaking, gets to the dirty areas to get some dirty goals. I really do like him. He's at his best when he's in a really, like, strict system. So, again, maybe not a Marty St. Louis system type of player, but when he has a strict defensive system to follow, he will do it to a T. Like, coaches are going to adore him because they're going to ask him to do something, and he's just going to go out and do that. And I quite like him as a guy. I have him ranked in my 50s right now. He's 48. So he's actually, wow. Yeah. That's higher than I thought. I do like him. And again, it's a bet on youth, and he's playing in a professional league at 17 as a true 17-year-old. And, I do quite like them. And the last guy I'm going to mention, and Aaron, you can lead off on him, is Oliver Bonk as an OHL defenseman. I know you've watched a bit of him as well.
Look, with Bonk, apart from the just wonderful
name. Great name. Yes, beautiful.
Son of Radek, obviously. Beautiful name. Like, they did a great job naming him. But he's come a really long way this season from a guy that I didn't really think would make the NHL, because the first thing I do at the beginning of the season is I go through all the cool names and I watch them first. And
of course,
I somehow miss David Jesus, but that's a different story. But with him, there's pretty good hockey IQ. The tools are pretty good. He's a little underwhelming skating wise. The shot could definitely be better. There's no elite skill, but he does everything pretty well. And, like, if you can find somebody that does everything pretty well, you have a player.
Yeah, I see his skating as a pretty big hurdle still. Like, it has improved in the last few months, like, for sure. Like the progression with Bonk is a really, really good one. And I know I was talking about this with the Jolie, but who loves Bonk, and I'm not quite at that point yet with him as a prospect, like, even in my top 50, let alone first round. But yeah, he has a very, very wide stance in his skating, doesn't have a very low center of gravity, which is something that concerns me a little bit, doesn't accelerate very quickly. His edges are decent. Like, when he picks up speed with crossovers, his edge works pretty solid. And he can weave around, I guess, passive forecheckers, but his passing game's an issue to me. I see that as below average, which, again, I think he best projects as a defensive defenseman who doesn't bring too much value in transition or offensively. That's just, like, how I feel comfortable projecting him. I know he's being used as, like, a two-way guy for London who's used in all situations. I just don't really see him as an offensive driver. He lacks the habits and the reads to really find high-end plays to make. He's a good shot, I guess, but most big defensemen have hard shots as well. So it's not exactly a standout skill. And
176. Smaller than I thought, actually.
He plays a bigger game. And he plays, like he keeps a really tight gap. His backwards skating is an issue. Like fast, skilled attackers can really get by him and beat him to the outside quite easily when they realize that they can. But he keeps a tight gap. He plays tenacious defense. He will cross-check the hell out of people in the slot during sustained defensive zone possessions. But yeah, he's an interesting guy because, again, he has come a fair amount this season. And those progression curves are always things to keep in mind. But as a whole, maybe a guy I'd think about in the third round, but before then I wouldn't really consider personally just yet. Again, he is going up my board slowly but surely. So maybe I'll say a different tune in a few months' time or by the draft. But as of right now, whenever I watch London, and the player that blows me away, the two players that blow me away are Isaiah George and Denver Barkey, not Logan Mailloux or Oliver Bonk. And that's been a consistent thing this season where it's like, oh, I'm watching Oliver Bonk. Oh my God, Isaiah George is awesome. Like George is one of the best skaters in the OHL. So smart, so physical, overwhelmingly. Defensively. We did. I know him and Frank Nazer. But yeah, Isaiah George is a ton of fun, and I really do like him a ton. But with Bonk, I still have some questions on just the upside. Like, I think you can make a relatively safe projection of, like, he can be a defensive number six defenseman.
Like, he'll play in NHL games.
He'll probably, yeah, exactly. Like he has the family lineage that'll help out. He's playing really big minutes in junior. That's going to help out, right? Like, there's always a selection bias with, like, which players actually even get the opportunity to make the NHL. It's not necessarily always the best players that get those opportunities, right? Like, just look at, like, Matthew Phillips or your boy, Alex Barré-Boulet. But
so good.
Really quick.
I'm sitting right next to his literal general manager. Is he not seeing what I'm seeing? Is he not seeing a guy that played, like, 27 minutes as a forward?
Yeah. Just
skating around, zipping around everybody, making every perfect play. And he's a guy you're keeping in Syracuse, New York? I'm sorry.
That's
my little rant.
Yep. But Denver Barkey has been playing really good hockey recently for London as well. So he's one of my favorite OHL guys this season in the draft. Just so like so tenacious, really flashing a lot more skill in the past few months, and has actually like dominated a game or two that I've watched, including a game that still hasn't been uploaded to Instat that I want to rewatch because I watch it live. And I want to see if my analysis carries over to the video. But yeah, he Denver Barkey's a ton of fun. He's still inside my first round. And I think on that note, we're going to conclude this episode of the podcast. I think we got to a fair amount of players that we kind of want to talk about. Not necessarily because they were connected in any way, but just because they're interesting to chat about. And
the transition from Boot to Simashev was outstanding.
Yes, I was proud of that one. I was like, because I was looking at the names that I had written down, and I was like, how tall is Simashev? And I checked, and he was 6'4", and I was like, oh, that's good. Thank you for noticing. I appreciate that. But yeah, on that note, we're going to conclude this episode. So thanks so much to Josh and Aaron for joining me as per usual, and we will see you again very, very soon.
You're listening to Puck and Roll.
What's going on, mama? Something just dawned on me. I ain't been home in some months. Been chasing songs and women, making some bad decisions. God knows I'm drinking too much. Yeah, I know you've been worrying about me. You've been losing sleep since 93. You should know that all those